What's up, beautiful ladies? Dr. Emily Kybert here with Thyroid Strong Podcast. It is extra hot here, 100 degrees in Colorado. So if you are watching this on YouTube, I'm a little extra shiny. We're going to talk about something very important today that your endocrinologist will not tell you. Your primary care won't tell you. And we're going to talk about the five root causes of belly bloat that often I see in women with Hashimoto's. If you've ever felt like you're doing everything right, you're eating clean, you're hitting your protein, you're not eating gluten, maybe you're even tracking your food and your belly is still bloated by lunch, this is what we're going to talk about today. I'm pulling back the curtain on five surprising root causes of belly bloat that I see all the time in my one-on-one clients with Hashimoto's. Spoiler alert, it's not just what you're eating, it's what your gut is doing with that food. So let's dive in. Let's start with one of the most common infections I see in the Hashi ladies. This gets picked up on a GI map, which is a stool test, and the infection is called Helicobacter pylori, shortened version H. pylori. It's a bacteria that lives in your stomach and suppresses your own production of stomach acid. Why does this matter? You need stomach acid to break down your protein, your food, and to be able to then absorb the minerals and vitamins from that food. Without stomach acid in proper production, food will sit and ferment, specifically and especially protein, leading to upper belly bloat, burping, that feeling of food is sitting in your belly for a long time, and even causing fatigue after you eat. So if you're burping a lot after meals, but you still have your gallbladder and you can't tolerate red meat, H. pylori could be the culprit. I see this all the time in women with Hashimoto's. It comes up on a GI map, and typically it is the upper third of the belly. So that is number one. And when we look at your gut, we go north to south. Now, let's talk about middle to lower two-thirds of your belly bloat. If this bloating in your lower belly shows up 30 to 90 minutes after you eat, especially if your belly balloons, like you're pregnant after dinner, you might have something called SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. This is when bacteria overgrows in the small intestine where it does not belong. When food is moving slowly through the gut, potentially from an upstream issue like H. pylori, your food will ferment, especially carbs and fiber. And this can cause gas, distension, constipation. And the gold standard for picking up SIBO is a breath test. A lot of Hashi women that I meet, a lot of Hashi clients that I work with, who have SIBO also report feeling better on a low FODMAP diet temporarily. It is a Band-Aid, so we want to test, not guess. A low FODMAP diet is one in which you are removing certain sugars out of your diet. It is quite restrictive. Let's talk about root cause number three. And this might be a surprising one for some women. I have currently been working with a 68-year-old. We are in our second month of working together. She has already lost 4 pounds after not losing weight for years. And one of the things we shifted, because she was noticing lower belly bloat, was decreasing the amount of fat in her diet and increasing her protein and her carbs. Why does this matter? Too much fat in one sitting, especially if you have a sluggish gallbladder, and you're not getting proper bile output or low pancreatic enzyme output, you will not be able to break down your fat properly. This shows up in clients who are eating super clean. Maybe they're eating paleo or keto, lots of avocado, nuts, fatty meats, oils. And without that strong bile flow or lipase enzymes, the fat will stay undigested. And this can cause upper right quadrant pain, bloat, and even stools that float when you go to the bathroom. So upper right quadrant, right under the ribs. If you feel bloated after eating even a clean meal, like something with avocado or salmon, this might be you. Pancreatic elastase and fecal fat on a GI map, specifically a stool test, will help uncover this root cause. Number four, let's talk parasites. Yes, even if you have not traveled outside the United States, I have seen Blastocystis hominis, Giardia, Entamoeba histolytica, whipworm, hookworm, roundworm in patients who have not left the country in years. Parasites can trigger your immune system to be in overdrive. It can increase leaky gut, also known as intestinal permeability, and can cause bloating, cramping in the stomach after you eat, loose stools, and fatigue. Parasites also create inflammation that blocks the absorption of nutrients that your body is trying to absorb from food. So it is blocking absorption of those nutrients. If your bloat goes hand in hand with unpredictable bowel movements, maybe you're swinging between constipation and diarrhea. Sometimes we call this consturia. If you're getting any skin issues, I know I had eczema. Some of my clients with psoriasis also find this. Parasites as one of the root causes. Or you have insomnia, parasites could be a play. They probably are. Okay. Number 5, and this is the last one. It's one that most people miss. It is mold exposure. Mold toxins can cause full body inflammation. It can put your immune system in overdrive, just like parasites do, and cause histamine issues. And it can also cause sluggish detox, all of which make your gut more sensitive and reactive. Mold also disrupts the gut bacteria balance, the microbiome. So the balance of good and bad bacteria, mold will disrupt that. And it can slow motility. It can slow the movement of food through your gut. When we have slow motility, you can have a higher propensity for getting SIBO. Mold can cause constipation and lower belly bloat. So if your bloat didn't start until you moved into a certain home, or maybe you had a water leak, or you feel worse in humid weather, and the humidity in your house is not managed properly, mold exposure needs to be ruled out. The way we do this is with mycotoxin testing, questionnaire, a free test is a VCS test, visual contrast sensitivity test online. These are all great places to start. So, to recap, bloating is not just annoying. I've been there. I've had it. I've had crampy bloating. I've had upper belly bloating. I've had lower belly bloating. I've had upper right quadrant. I have had it all. It is your body waving a red flag that something deeper is off. If any of these root causes, and we did 5, sound familiar, you're not crazy. Don't worry. You don't have to guess. This is exactly what we uncover inside of my Thyroid Strong functional medicine coaching. We use GI maps, mycotoxin testing, urine testing, saliva, stool. We also look at your macros. Not a lot of functional medicine doctors know how to do that. And we also look at your workouts because we do not heal by just addressing one thing. We are allowed to have multiple things. And we also do not heal by under eating and overtraining. If you want clarity on your root cause, I'm going to drop a link below. You can apply for one-on-one Thyroid Strong functional medicine coaching. It is 6 months together. We'll uncover what's driving your bloat, fatigue, weight loss resistance, maybe it's histamine issues, whatever it is, and build a personalized plan to heal from the inside out. Again, the link is in the show notes. And ladies, I hope this was super helpful, and I'll see you next time.